tip today in association with Slattery's of Pecan, your main Peugeot dealer for over 50 years in the Premier County. Slattery'sGarage.ie.
Thanks, Sally. Welcome back to Tip Today, 1800-938-007. That text number is 083-311-3311. Just to remind you again, we have that lovely hamper to give away in association with O'Sullivan's Pharmacy in Feathert, and they are celebrating 100 years in business. Now, this year at Tip FM, we really want to try to make a difference for some children across the county. And we've teamed up with our local St. Vincent de Paul branches in Tipperary. And this morning, we are launching the Tip FM Toy Appeal. To talk to me about this, I'm joined in the studio by the general manager of Tip FM, Susan Murphy. We have our breakfast show presenter, Lorraine, with us, and the president of St. Vincent de Paul and Tipperary native, Kieran Stafford. You're all very welcome. Susan, can I get an overview of this from you? Why decide to do this?
Well, Fran, we were talking, as you know, several months ago about we wanted to do something for Christmas. And in light of the size of Tipperary, you know, while there are amazing charities out there doing exceptional work, we wanted something that we could do where, I suppose, charity begins at home. And when you think of Christmas, you think of children more than anybody else. And while we know Santee is very good to every child and will make sure that there's no child left out, there are a lot of children across this county and many other counties, but this county, who won't get that little extra this Christmas. There's a lot of struggling families out there. And we really felt, as the radio station for the county, it was pretty much incumbent upon us to do something. This is something I've been involved in the past. It's been hugely successful. And I have no doubt in my mind that the people of Tipperary will just, they'll take this to their hearts. Because one of the great things about something like this is you're asking people to literally buy something. So they're not handing over money. And sometimes people feel better when they're physically handing you something as opposed to just money. And we also find that with something like this, everybody can get involved. Children can get involved with their pocket money.
Yeah.
Schools can get involved. Businesses can get involved. And we're really urging people, you know, from today, this is, as you said, this is the launch of it today. We're urging everybody in Tipperary to please get behind this. We think it's hugely important. The other side of it is, I suppose, you know, if you're going out there to buy toys, please spend your money in Tipperary. So, you know, the local businesses will actually benefit from it as well. So everybody will benefit, but most importantly, children.
The children, which is all important indeed. Kieran, I'm just wondering about St. Vincent de Paul on the run-up to Christmas. I mean, how much of a call is on your coffers? It must be incredible.
It's an extremely busy time of the year for us, Fran. Obviously, people want to make this a special time for their families and especially for children. You know, the families that we are visiting are struggling to put your meals on the table, to heat the homes. So when it comes to Christmas, there is a difficulty and there is a definite problem in trying to make the occasion special. We're really delighted that you have selected us to be the recipients of this toy appeal. We're delighted, you know, to have the opportunity to have toys in the county here to hand out to struggling families. And this extends also to grandparents, you know, that we would be supporting, who would have difficulty with their income and would find it difficult maybe to buy toys for their grandchildren. So, like, this reaches out right across the
Oh, that's very interesting. I hadn't thought of that you would help the grandparent out with a gift for a grandchild.
Absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, separated families where, you know, the husband or father, you know, is on low income themselves and are finding it difficult to come up with a present for the children for Christmas. You know, it reaches into so many different aspects of family life, and we see it all, unfortunately, in our work.
So this sort of appeal is obviously ideal for you then. It's an ideal partnership for you on the run-up to Christmas.
Absolutely. And I'm looking at the list that you have on your website. Absolutely perfect. You know, colouring books, you know, crayons, they are so popular amongst children. And quite often, you know, I think we all as parents would have seen that down through the years you'd buy all the expensive toys, but it's the tried and trusted ones that children tend to play with the most. Jigsaw puzzles, always very, very popular. Lego Lego, incredibly popular. Mm. Board games, you know, that the whole family can get involved in. These are all kind of things. If people, I know the age that we're aiming for is 6 months to 12, but if people don't want to forget about the teenagers either, vouchers are always so great to give to teenagers. And
Lorraine, Kieran mentioned some of what we're looking mm-hmm. for. Now, in terms of what we're not looking for as well, just to be specific about
Yeah,
that.
There are a couple of stipulations on this. I suppose mainly for hygiene purposes, brand new toys, brand new, unopened, unused. And again, it doesn't need to be something huge. It doesn't need to be the latest trending toy. It could be something really, really small, like a jigsaw, like teddy bears, like books, anything at all, no matter how big or small, it will all be hugely appreciated. But no electrical goods as well is another thing, purely for safety reasons. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, there's loads of other options outside. Battery-operated toys are absolutely perfect, but just electrical goods with plugs, unfortunately, can't be accepted.
All right, very good indeed. Now, where money is concerned, we don't mind people donating to St. Vincent de Paul, but we're not looking for money.
No, it's all toys. And as we said, we're mainly aiming for between 6 months and 12 years old. So I think a nice idea, if you have a child yourself, if you have a niece or a nephew or a grandchild, and you're struggling, kind of thinking, what could I get? What could I donate for this? Have them in mind. What do they like? What are they playing with at the moment? And just have them in mind when you're donating.
Very good. So, now, lots of our friends, of course, have gotten involved with us in terms of drop-off points. Isn't that fair to say?
So, Manny, do you know what? We put this out last week, and I'd say within the space of about 2 hours, the reaction was absolutely phenomenal. Right from the top of the county down to the very bottom of the county, just everybody wanted to get involved. We have, at the moment, we've got about 14... drop-off points if people want to donate a toy. So Borrisalee, Shanahan Centre, Topaz, Care, Dolan Super Value, Cashel, Morrissey Super Value, Carrick and Shore, Cleary's Hardware, Topline, in Clonmel, the Showground Shopping Centre. You can find the drop-off point there just by the Tip FM booth.
Yeah.
World of Wonder, they're in the Poppy Fields Retail Park in Clonmel. Of course, here in Tip FM, during office hours, you can drop your toys in here. In the Clonmel studios. Feathered, O'Sullivan's Pharmacy, Nina O'Connor's Kenyon Street Market, we're going to Ross Gray, to Bernie's Super Value, Templemore, O'Connell Centra, Stakelum's Toys on Parnell Street in Thurles and in Tip Town, Super Value, and Spar in Boris O'Kane helping us out. So you can see a huge amount
Absolutely.
Of interest.
Absolutely.
In
so there's no excuse whatsoever. Isn't it fantastic, Susan, that the business people buy in straight away, don't they, into all of this?
Well, it's absolutely true what Lorraine said. Yeah. We put a little call out to our sales team the other day, I think it was Thursday actually, we put the call out just to see if we could get a few in, because we thought it'd be nice just to have a few to start off with. And I'm not joking, Fran, in the space of 2 hours they came back with that list, and we'd probably have another list if we kept going. But, you know, we didn't want to confuse people.
Of course.
We wanted to
of
keep
course.
It. We wanted everyone to get the opportunity in their nearest town. And this goes right up until the 12th of December. So you have literally from now, and all we ask is, you know, when you're out shopping, and you'll all be shopping in Tipperary anyway, just pick up something, just a little something. There's no value. You know, you can spend whatever you can afford. We're not putting any value on anything. But let's really show the rest of the country that Tipperary has such a big heart, because we know it has.
Well, that's for sure indeed. We're hearing an awful lot about growth in the economy, Kieran. We're hearing about this Republic of Opportunity and all of that. What are you seeing on the ground out there?
Well, we're still seeing families struggling. In actual fact, there was two reports released this week that stated that people in rural Ireland were most affected by the recession and are now benefiting least from the recovery. And again, we're seeing that the whole time. You know, you've transport costs, you've difficulty with employment. Everything seems to be kind of centred towards the cities, and that in itself is producing its own problems. But again, you know, we're coming across families that are struggling to heat their homes, struggling to put food on the table, struggling to meet the everyday costs that we take for granted. Looking after children, going to school, you know, various different things like that. Again, it's business as usual, unfortunately for us, you know, as always.
There's a cut-off date for the appeal, Lorraine.
There is. I think people might hear the word Christmas right now and go, what are they talking about Christmas for? But yes, we do. We kind of need to get cracking on it, because the cut-off date, purely for logistical reasons and to sort out all of the toys and to get them where they need to go, the cut-off date is lunchtime on December the 12th. So we've got about 4 weeks or so to get this going. So yeah, December the 12th,
very
lunchtime is the final.
Of course, this is the first of many years of this, isn't it, Susan?
Oh, I hope so. Yeah. I hope this will be the start of something really big for us in Tipperary. And, you know, again, what's lovely about this is that everybody across. This is a great opportunity for this county to come together and do something really special for their own. And I have no doubt it will be a great success.
Absolutely. So that's the TIP FM Toy Appeal in association with St. Vincent de Paul, officially launched. So I know you'll do tremendous work for us. Thanks.
Frank, could I just say
yes, of course you can.
Thanks so much to TIP FM for this initiative, which is going to make a difference with so many children's lives. Thanks to the business and thanks to the listeners for their ongoing support for the society and for people in need in their communities. And thanks for all the people that I know will support this. Thank you all so much.
All right. Thanks to Kieran, Susan and Lorraine.
Join the conversation in Tipperary. Contact us through Facebook, Twitter or email tiptoday@tipfm.com.
And you're very welcome back to Tip Today. Now, Clonmel District Community Gardaí are hosting a benefit concert supporting Care Clonmel and Skull Cormac in Cashel. The concert will take place at Hotel Manila in Clonmel on Thursday evening, the 7th of December at 8 o'clock. Now, to tell us more about this, I'm joined in the studio by Seamus Hayes and Kevin Fahey from Skull Cormac, by Seamus Anderson from Care, and by Superintendent William Leahy as well. And good morning to you all, and thanks for coming in. Willie, can I go to you first? Will you just give us an overview of what exactly is happening on the night?
Well, friend, as you know, this is the third concert that we're running with the Garda Band in Clonmel. Previously, we ran it in 2015 and 16. Care have been one of the beneficiaries for all 3 years, and this year, Skull Cormac in Cashel have come on board.
Right.
Myself and Sergeant Kieran O'Regan from the Community Policing Unit went over to Skull Cormac in Cashel a number of weeks ago and just witnessed ourselves firsthand the incredible work that they are doing there. Yes. On a daily basis, and we're delighted that they have come on board. And as you know, Care, Cancer Care inside in Clonmel, under Seamus's watch, do incredible work throughout South Tipperary and beyond. So we're delighted with the two beneficiaries that are here this year. I suppose the one thing that has been coming back from all the previous concerts is that people want to see more of the Garda Band, and this year the band is going to perform on both sides of it. And as you're aware, Eamon O'Dwyer from Down Your Way did a programme there from last year, and it was very well received, and we're trying to work the magic and get him there again this year.
So see, no pressure or anything like that. Can I turn to you, Seamus Anderson, first of all, from Care. Would you just explain to us what it is that Care does, Seamus?
Yeah, absolutely, friend. What we do is we provide professional support to people who have been diagnosed with cancer and to their family members also. We're in Clonmel since 2002. And we actually have an active membership of over 4,000 people a year attend the centre. And we receive no government funding whatsoever. So it's through the supports of Garda Síochána that we are actually able to keep our lights on and our doors open. So it's actually a vital support to ourselves. We have a lot of our work is done by volunteers in the centre, which we greatly depend on. It's for counselling services and complementary therapies as well, and group supports. So it's this kind of support from the guards is invaluable. Yeah.
And we often hear indeed on the programme, Seamus, about the tremendous amount of work you do. Now, it's Clonmel Care, but I presume the catchment area is much larger than that, is it?
Yeah, absolutely. We have a huge catchment area, Fran. We actually would cover Carrickenshaw, Cashel, Care, parts into Waterford as well. And beyond in Tipperary Town, Thurles, it depends on where the person wants to come. Some seek there a bit of anonymity in themselves as regards for that they don't know anyone in the area that they come to see, you know, so they come to ourselves and we are there. And we are there from 9:30 till 4:30 and Monday to Thursday and 2:00 for Friday. It's to the support again by the Garda Síochána that we're able to actually go into a full time service. So these are vital funds for ourselves.
It's amazing. You don't get any government funding at all.
No. We actually totally depend on the kindness and support of people in Clonmel, like on Garda Síochána, and like the winter ball or our own lunch and the raffle tickets that we sell. So it's all vital funds to ourselves.
Isn't it incredible altogether? Well, as you say, this is an ideal association with yourself and the Garda Band and the Gardaí indeed to raise much needed funding. Now, funding, of course, much needed as well in Skull Cormac in Cashel. Kevin Fahey. Kevin, can I turn to you first on this? The importance of funding to Skull Cormac?
Oh, Fran, I mean, it's absolutely vital. I just speaking about, the Garda Band and music and stuff, I suppose in Skullcormac, like our motto is all about sort of valuing of the child, and the value of the children that we work with comes in so many different ways. We work with kids that have intellectual challenges, but we strive every day to show the value in the full person, and a big part of that would be music, and Seamus is here with the choir, music, sport, arts, you know, the full person themselves, and in order to sort of facilitate that, funding is a huge part of it. You're trying to sort of integrate children into activities that are going to sort of enhance those things in a very supported way, and all of those things require the funding to support them. We've got a number of things that go on in the school. We've got, you know, we've got a sensory room, we've got a hydrotherapy area. All of these things are constantly sort of needing to be updated, needing to be sort of enhanced, and the funding, of course, you know, is an ongoing thing. It's one of those things that if you had 100 euros and if you had €1 million, you could find things for them to be done, you know.
Seamus Hayes with us as well. Seamus, Kevin mentioned there, of course, the choir, because Skullcormac school choir taking part on the night with the Garda Band.
That's right, Fran, yeah, and we're absolutely delighted to be involved and to be asked to take part in the fundraising concert. So, yeah, the kids are all excited, they're all looking forward to it. We're preparing, we have a special treat, I suppose, in some ways. One of the students, he's a very talented young boy, 16-year-old, who's a natural singer, natural guitar player, and he's going to feature with the band. Obviously, our own choir will sing some numbers on the night by themselves, but Stephen's going to actually feature with the Garda Band.
So Stephen Donoghue.
Yes, yeah. I'm sure you've come across him.
Absolutely,
I mean, he's a gifted kid, and he's taken part in shows outside of the school as well, with Tipperary musicals, etc. So he's a wonderful talent, and it's going to be great that he can sort of show off his ability and talent with the Garda Band that night, you know.
And Emer is going to be there as well on the night.
Emer, yes, Lothar, that's right.
On,
yeah,
on the night,
she
okay.
is. Yeah,
so it's going to be a fantastic night of music altogether. Yeah. Just tell me, within Skullcormac, the importance of music to the young students—it's invaluable, I would say.
It really is, Fran. Yeah, it's hard to sort of equate the value of it, you know, in some ways. But I suppose if you think of children with, you know, disabilities or abilities, we'd like to call them. You know, you've got a range of students in Skullcormac with autism and a variety of physical and learning needs. So I think, you know yourself, singing and music is such a wonderful thing to be involved in. It can open up, you know, for communication, your own sense of self-esteem, confidence, you know, just a social activity, people, you know, joining in with others in groups or individually. And we have kids who would, you know, would find it difficult to communicate sometimes, would have difficulty expressing themselves. So, and I've seen it, and I'm not just, you know, blowing our trumpet here, but I mean, there's been plenty of studies been done on this. You know, children who would have been very, say, not introverted, but quiet and find it hard to, I've seen them, like, literally over a course of maybe 1 or 2 years, get up and sing in front of a room full of their compatriots and sing, you know, with great confidence. And you can see the joy and the difference it makes, you know.
Isn't that fantastic?
To add to what you're saying, yes, I think it's a wonderful, wonderful opportunity that we feel that the school and our students have to showcase. We see it, myself and Seamus and the staff and in the school see it every day. We see the talent. We see the sort of you know, the blossoming and the talent that is there, and we're involved in sports, we've got soccer teams, we've got basketball teams, we've got and you know, sometimes, you know, friends of mine that are involved in sport, and they talk about, oh, you've got a soccer team, and they're sort of and sometimes I feel you should come and see the soccer games, because they are as competitive and we've got a sense of, you know, in our school we speak all the time about everybody having strengths and everybody having weaknesses.
Yes.
You know, that nobody's good at everything. And you might have a challenge with, and it's one of the, it's, you know, they talk about inclusion and talk about integration and inclusion. I think we strive and we see, you know, Skullcormac as being one of the most inclusive places that are around, because you've got children, and children generally come in and they go, well, you know, that's, that my friend there has a difficulty with walking, my friend there has a difficulty with, you know, I often say to the kids, you know, I can't run as fast as you. I can't draw as good as you. I can't sing as good as you. You know, I'm a staff member but you're better than me at these things. I'm better at you at these things, but we're all good at different things. And this is a wonderful, wonderful opportunity for us to showcase in front of a large audience the talent that is there, you know. And you know, because the choir were involved in a national competition in Mullingar last year, and they came second in a national competition of... Yeah. Such a standard.
Isn't that fantastic? You know,
so it is a wonderful opportunity for
us. You both speak so passionately about it. It's great. And of course, then you have the build-up of the excitement of a great occasion, right. Which adds to everything as well.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah. They're really prepared and looking forward to it greatly. You know, they really are very excited about it.
Now, to the other Seamus, the Seamus Anderson, you gave me a list of where tickets are available. Do you want to give us a list of that, Seamus?
Yeah, absolutely, Fran. Yeah. We've at the moment we've tickets on sale in Music Mind in Mitchell Street here in Clonmel, at Hotel Manila in Clonmel as well, with ourselves in the Care Cancer Support Centre in Wellington Street. We also have it in the tickets are on sale in the Carers Association on Sarsfield Street there in Clonmel. Also the Oncology Day Ward in South Tipperary General Hospital. Skull Cormac, the lads themselves are selling tickets for us as well. Bailey's Restaurant in Cashel. And in Sergeant Kieran O'Regan, we'll also have one sale in Clonmel Garda Station.
So there's no excuse. There's plenty of places to get tickets. Superintendent, could I just ask you, I mean, this is an association with Clonmel District Community Gardaí. You've been at pains to get out there and work with the community greatly over the last while, haven't you?
We have, Fran, and I suppose I regularly come into this studio for other reasons, our day-to-day job, I just want to re-emphasise to everybody, I'm still doing the day-to-day job, just in case you forget, but we're at pains there because we see, everybody knows, growing up as a child, when you'd interact with the Gard, there was something about, I'm trying to get our staff out there in every age group. And to get involved with them. And this is just another facet of what we're doing. And I suppose if people are listening this morning and they listen to the passion that's in the three lads' voice, absolutely, they'll realise that these are worthy causes. And I suppose what I'm trying to achieve is that through the Garda Band, because it isn't every organisation or company have something like the Garda Band.
It's a great resource.
It's a great resource. And I suppose my eyes were opened in 2015 when I sat in the crowd and saw Pat Kenny, and he took hold of the audience within a minute or two of coming out on the stage, and he's a real showman. And we have a resource that I want to bring to the people at Clonmel, and in doing so try and raise some funds for much needed people. And I think if I'm trying to achieve one thing out of it, I'd like to be able to look back in a number of years, and when Emer, which she's supposed to be an excellent singer, I've never heard of, but when Emer and the Stevens of this world move on to bigger and brighter things, they might be able to say, well, on the 7th of December 2017 we sang with the Garda Band, you know.
Alright, well listen, well done to everybody involved. It's going to be a fantastic occasion. It's Thursday the 7th of December, and we'll put up those places where the tickets are available as well. So thanks very much indeed to Superintendent Leahy, to Seamus Anderson, to Seamus Hayes, and to Kevin Fahey as well.
If it matters to you, it matters to us. Call TIP today on 1-800-938-007.
And you're very welcome back to TIP today. Now, the Irish Council Against Blood Sports says it's obtaining new information that leverets, which are baby hares, and pregnant does are now being captured by some clubs for coursing, according to documents from the National Parks and Wildlife Services seen by the ICAB. They were captured in one particular incident. Spokesperson is John Fitzgerald, who joins me online now. John, good morning to you.
Hi, good morning.
And thanks for taking our call this morning. Tell me about this. How did you get hold of this documentation, by the way?
Yeah, now I should mention first that I represent the Campaign for the Abolition of Cruel Sports, a very similar organisation, but it was the Irish Council Against Blood Sports that obtained information under the FOI, the Freedom of Information Act. And how it works is that rangers attached to the National Parks and Wildlife Service attend a number of hare coursing events every season. And on this occasion, the rangers discovered at a number of events that you know, pregnant hares were in captivity, and also leverets, that is, baby hares. And of course, you know, it's against the license conditions that govern hare coursing, you know, to have pregnant hares in captivity or leverets. Now, they may have been inadvertently captured, but the fact that they were spotted at several venues is disturbing in its own way. And at the
So this wasn't just at one venue, was it?
No, unfortunately, at a place called Kilflynn in County Kerry, a female hare with a leveret was found, and the ranger himself actually decided that the hare and the leveret couldn't be released until they'd, you know, because they wouldn't have survived. And at the coursing compound of Glen in County Limerick, five leverets were born, according to the report, in the escape area of the compound. And, you know, the ranger actually had to take the five leverets into care to ensure that they were released at a later date.
But how does that work? Were the hares in captivity, essentially?
That's it. Well, you see, it's against the licence conditions governing coursing to capture either pregnant hares or leverets.
Right.
So when leverets turn up in captivity, they could actually have been born in captivity or they could have been captured. But either way, it shouldn't happen. But anyway, see, the whole thing is, this is just another dimension to hare coursing, that these are things that shouldn't happen, but they do. And it's a bit like the muzzling. With muzzles, the greyhounds are not supposed to harm the greyhounds are not supposed to harm the hares, but it does happen. So it's not a question of the coursing people wanting to inflict a lot of suffering and cruelty. It just happens. And the whole point is that you can't avoid this when you're using live hares and coursing. That's the case we're making, and that's why we draw a parallel between this and the circuses that Agriculture Minister Michael Creed has announced, you know, will be banned from January. That,
which is very welcome, in fairness.
Oh, it is indeed a very welcome move, and most people support it, because you don't need, you know, to have wild animals in a circus nowadays. People are willing to go along to circus, right, and they enjoy the human performance.
But do you see that as hypocritical then?
Well, it seems to be a double standard, and, you know, especially from my point of view anyway, when you read the statement issued by the Agriculture Minister, you know, he says the use of wild animals for entertainment purposes in circuses can't be permitted any longer, and that the move is reflective of our commitment to animal welfare. Well, that's fair enough, except that wild animals are also being used by definition for entertainment purposes in coursing. And some of them come to grief, you know, and like it doesn't happen over such a prolonged period, like where you have a tiger or an elephant being used for years and years. But still, the hares are being taken in from the wild and held in what could be construed as unnatural captivity. And then
what is the story in other countries, John? How do we compare it to the UK, for example?
Well, the UK outlawed hare coursing in 2004, but that was part of a broader ban on blood sports like fox hunting and various other activities. But in Britain and across Europe and Australia, which once had live hare coursing as well, you now have this so-called drag coursing, and I know I've mentioned this before, but it does replicate all the excitement and the adventure of hare coursing, but without the use of live hares. And those drag coursing events attract big crowds across Europe and Australia and New Zealand and Britain, where live coursing was once legal, and they still have big industries around those activities. And, you know, and another advantage, if we had a switch to drag coursing in Ireland, there wouldn't be any need for a closed season, and you wouldn't have wildlife rangers keeping an eye on them and all that. You know, the coursing people could do it at any time, you know.
But, you know, supporters of the coursing would say to you, look, this is our tradition, this is the way it's been for all those years. I mean, the dogs are muzzled now, that, you know, that there's little chance of the hares being upset or being killed. And your answer to that is what? It just should be banned, is that it?
Well, exactly. But you see, from our point of view, since the advent of freedom of information, when we were able to get these reports of the National Parks and Wildlife Service, we see that the muzzle dogs are continuing to strike, and words like they're hit and pinned down and mauled and tossed about and all that. And many of those hares die afterwards. Even after being released into the wild, many of them die of stress-related activities. Actually, there was one coursing event, and the wildlife ranger refers to a hare that wasn't coursed at all, because the hare had covered half the distance, and the slipper, that's the person who released the dog, decided not to release them. But the hare actually dropped dead on the field before reaching the escape. Now, that just shows that the entire experience is sort of unnatural for the hare, because the hare, you know, it is a prey species, always on the lookout, very alert. But being captured and then used in a contrived chase just isn't part of its natural life cycle, you know. So, like we said, look, even if a coursing club has the very best of intentions, this continues to happen. The hares continue to suffer, you know.
And tell me, was anybody brought to book from these incidents that that you saw through the Freedom of Information?
No, not as yet, no. And the reports, you know, these reports are printed, but they're handwritten, you know, there are annotations attached by the wildlife rangers, references to the hare, the leverets being spotted and all that. But no sanctions have been taken, and the issue has been raised.
And why do you think that is?
We wonder just, is there a lack of commitment on the part of politicians? You know, see, politicians are afraid of losing votes in various constituencies, and...
You see, there's an awful lot of talk about rural Ireland and the traditions of rural Ireland and not losing these traditions. And in fairness, coursing would be in there amongst that, you know?
Yeah. Well, again, I suppose I'd come back to what I said about drag coursing. That with drag coursing, you could preserve the bulk of the tradition, maybe not all of it, but you still have the test of speed and stamina between the two greyhounds. You have the chase, you have the awarding of points and the trophies at the end and the celebrations afterwards. You have all that. Admittedly, you do take the element of unpredictability that goes with the use of a live hare. That's what the coursing people say they want, and that what differs from drag coursing. But surely, taking the live hare out of coursing, you know, it wouldn't be such a big sacrifice, and you would preserve the bulk of the tradition, and you still have the get-togethers and you know, in the countryside and that.
I would say to you though that it certainly would cut down on the amount of people going to these events though, and that would be a great problem for. I mean, if you take in Clonmel in Tipperary, coursing is a huge benefit to the economy, you know.
Well, of course, it does bring money into the economy and guest houses and all that. But with drag coursing, you might lose some of the hardcore people. But then again, drag coursing would attract many people who don't attend live hare coursing. And that's another aspect that should be looked at. So you might lose a few here, but you'd also gain...
Well, is it not fair to say that because it's banned in the UK, we have a lot of visitors from the UK to witness coursing Irish style?
Yeah, but I don't think that's something that we should be particularly proud of. I mean, you could say, for example, like dogfighting is banned in many countries in the world, but then it's permitted in Afghanistan, and people go from all parts of Asia to Afghanistan from countries where dogfighting is banned. So that kind of argument, well, it's an interesting one, but it doesn't take away the ethical objection to hare coursing.
Right, and you think that the politicians are sort of holding out on this because there might be a backlash from voters, is that what you're saying?
Yeah, well, in some of the constituencies, like especially counties Kerry and Clare and maybe Tipperary to some extent, politicians would be very cagey about this. So this is why you have Agriculture Minister Michael Creed, you know, condemning the use of animals for entertainment, but he won't move against hare coursing because he's in a Cork constituency. And we would actually appreciate if politicians would be honest and just admit that they're not considering the issue on its merits. They're looking at the votes. And
where do you, with your campaign for the abolition of cruel sports, John, where do you draw the line? I mean, you see horse racing is cruel, for example.
Well, you see, with some of the other activities, there are aspects of these activities that are cruel. Like the excessive use of the whip in horse racing is something you'd object to, you know? Whereas you mightn't object to every aspect of it. And you know, you can deal with some of these things, and you have very high...
Well, these animals are driven to the peak of their ability. I mean, you see the state of them at the end of a race and stuff. Is there not elements of cruelty to all of this kind of thing?
Well, there certainly would be stress involved. And of course, there are animal welfare groups that take...
Do you think that should be banned then as well?
The emphasis really with the campaign against blood sports is on activities where, like in fox hunting or hare coursing, where the animals, you know, they're going to be injured, and you know they'd be injured or killed, and there's absolutely no reason to have them in the first place, you know, to have them use them as live bait.
Yeah, I'm just wondering though about in terms of drawing the line, because you could say the same thing about, you know, killing turkeys for Christmas, or, you know, those of us who like our steak, we all know now what has to happen for us to get a steak on the plate. You know,
but of course, there are people who are opposed to... That's another debate. There are people who are opposed to the killing of animals for any purpose whatsoever. Right.
Are you opposed to that, John?
Well, in the context of the campaign against blood sports, it's not really the point. Like, you know, the killing of the turkey and the killing of animals, like, it's unfortunate that animals are killed in any situation whatsoever, but at least there are controls there, and if an animal dies...
Do you eat meat yourself, for example?
Well, I tend to avoid it. But I'm not,
on the grounds of?
Well, it's more of a personal decision when you come to dealing with, you know, vegetarianism and veganism. But I kind of draw a sort of a distinction between the two activities. You know, you have many farmers and many people who eat meat who would shrink from, let's say, badger baiting or cockfighting or hare coursing because they just don't like to see the animal suffer. If an animal is looked after right up to the very point where it's killed, that's not quite the same thing as badger baiting, fox hunting or hare coursing, in my view.
All right, John, thanks for talking to us today. That's John Fitzgerald there with the campaign for the abolition of cruel sports. And, of course, the Irish Council Against Blood Sports saying that it obtained that new information. The baby hares and pregnant does now being captured by some clubs for coursing. How do you feel about that? 1800 938 007. You can text on 083 311 3311. Now we'll take a break and then we'll have a look at what's coming in on text.
Join the conversation in Tipperary. Contact us through Facebook, Twitter or email tiptoday@tipfm.com.
And you're very welcome back to Tip Today. And Trudy is producing and she's with me and she's bossing me around here about turning up her headphones and all sorts of stuff. But there you go. You're going to have a look at texts for us, Trudy.
Yeah, quite a lot in. Apologies, we haven't been able to get to them. It's just been quite busy. Mm. So I suppose we'll look back to some of the pieces there. In relation to the pro-life piece with Mairead, one of our callers says, Fran, abortion may not be murder, but the result is the same. Bill in Templemore got in touch to say, if our near neighbours held a commemoration day to reflect on the deliberate death of their unborn, our pro-choice political genre could deface our sacred shamrock and attach it to the face of whatever blossom chosen. Job done, everybody happy. Fairly stuff, stirring stuff from Bill in Templemore there. Another caller, Fran, I blame the church for a lot of the abortions. People are afraid of what their families will think if they become pregnant out of marriage. Growing up, we learned it was wrong and that we would be on our own if it happened. We were all led to believe that it was a wrong and it was a sin. Thankfully, I don't believe in all that garbage, but some people are more sensitive and believe they have to cover up from their families who may have strong concerns or maybe strong believers. The church has a lot to answer for as far as this caller feels. Sorry, she says, or he says, if it offends anyone, but it's what they feel.
Interesting.
So there you go.
Strong and the debate trundles on and will trundle on as
and
well.
And
the sides seem to be getting even more divided, on this.
And it's going to be so for the next number of months. In relation to Sinn Féin and our piece with David Doran. Fran, can you explain to me what's the difference between the Cuala Cantar and the Cumann in Sinn Féin? What do each of them do and who is over whom? Well, the Cumann in parties like Sinn Féin and Fianna Fáil, basically it's the grassroots members. It's a small club, so it's the local branch to a particular area. So you'd have a branch in Clonmel, branch in say Cashel, Nina, etc, etc. So, you know, they're the card carrying members as such. They wouldn't be political in terms of they wouldn't be councillors, but they would be members of, you know, community.
Yes, as supporters.
As supporters, yeah. So then the Cuala Cantar is a collective, a number of those Cumann. So basically they fall across geographical lines usually. So they'd be based on the geographics of a county council. So say Tipperary County Council. So you'd have the five municipal districts and you'd have the Cumann in each of those districts coming together and the unit that all of those are called the Cuala Cantar. So
right.
There you go.
That's and part of the issue is that with the amalgamation of both sides of Tipperary now, the Cantar involves both.
Yes, it
both
does. Which obviously
has caused some issues.
Yes, it has, because obviously it would have been very much divided beforehand. And not unlike the difficulties experienced within the county council too.
But, indeed.
Another one in relation to that, Sinn Féin, another caller says Sinn Féin is badly divided among the Cumanns in Clonmel and Thurles, to which Davy Doran is his own Cumann. It's divided across the whole county, this caller says. It's a complete mess. Now, Anthony and Kerr got in touch and asked us to please read it. Anthony, I can read some of it. I'm afraid I cannot read all of it. There's a little thing called libel and defamation. Fran, you could make it up. Shamey, he says, couldn't stick the heat in what Anthony claims is the bully boy party. Tip FM does no association with that. He says he's happy to join them. This is in relation to Shamey, and he knew their makeup, but now he's in Fran's arms crying. He said that basically, you know, these Sinn Féin representatives are well trained by Gerry Adams when it comes to not in the politics of condemnation. He says never a straight answer, and that's Anthony and Kerr. Strong words from there.
Well, I did put, I mean, in fairness, David Doran was very straight about that he did not witness, nor was he bullied.
There you go. Yeah, I mean, that's what the man says. That's what the man says. In relation to Matthew McGrath, Gerry thinks that Matty was about to let the mask slip, but drew back. Sherry says he was about to call Fine Gael the party of the people, but drew back. Terry Finnegan and Ross Gray got in touch to say, "Hi Fran, I heard you talking to Matthew McGrath and homelessness was mentioned. So why don't the government do what they do for the Syrian families that are coming into the country? Why can't they take 50 homeless people or families and put them into these hotels that are not in use? What's the difference?"
They're putting them into hotels at the moment.
They are. And it's not a house, it's not a home, you know. Elizabeth and Nina got in touch to say, "Good morning. In one of your conversations with Don, I think it was with him, he mentioned about helping out those in need by giving them a cup of soup. I would like to help out and give my time to such causes, especially in the run-up to Christmas. So how does one go about this? Is there a list of places where one could go? My desire would be to help people who are hungry and homeless." And that's from Elizabeth and Nina.
All right. Well, Elizabeth, I know that there's lots of organisations that would welcome you with open arms and you to help them out where that is concerned. Trudy, thanks very much indeed. If you want to talk to Trudy, 1800 938 007.